Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game on this Thursday. Appreciate you hanging out with us. We say hello now to John McClain, HoustonTexans.com, who joins us. John, hope you had a Merry Christmas. The Texans did not, but hope you did.
Well, I did not because I had to cover that game and sit through it. I thought about walking after halftime like so many did after Beyonce's incredible show. But I've never left a game in 48 years early, so I didn't. And, of course, it was awful. I think the Texans are going to lose to the Titans. They'll, I'm sure, rest a lot of starters, and I don't know if it would have mattered considering the Titans embarrassed the Texans here. And then they'll lose in the first round of the playoffs no matter who they play because their offense is broken. C.J. Stroud, because he's been hit so much and because he's been chased so much, he seems to have lost his confidence, his accuracy. He's not the quarterback who was 5-1, now he's 4-6. And it's not – I don't – some of it's his fault, but most of it has been because they're terrible – pass protection and run blocking, specifically in the interior of the offensive line, which plays right into the hands of what the Titans will have for them in the last game of the season. Maybe the Titans fool around and win their last two games here and get people fired up for next season and lower their first-round pick.
Do you think Bobby Slowick is going to be the one that kind of pays for that, or are they aware of what their issues are and know that they just need to go fix that?
I'll tell you what is weird. Last year, the Texans started a league-high 12 offensive linemen because of injuries, and they had to start some guys who aren't in the league anymore, and they had the same coaches, and the line wasn't a problem. And this year, with everybody healthy, now they're not now, but most of the season they have been, and with the same coaches, they've basically been terrible. It's not the tackles as much with Laremy Tunsil. He's still their best pass protector. And Titus Howard, the right tackle, moved inside the left guard out of desperation. But they have too many guys get beaten at the point of attack, and seldom does Stroud have time to throw. And yesterday he had some time to throw, and he was off target too much. So Bobby Slowick is the offensive coordinator and play caller. Last year he was the fair-haired boy, had 5 interviews for head coaching jobs. Now everybody here wants him fired, but I'll be surprised if he's fired. I think more likely they'll have major changes that start with the offensive line coaches, although I feel for them. It's not their fault when guys are beaten off the ball.
You got to see Lamar Jackson up close and personal yesterday. He passed Michael Vick's rushing record for a quarterback. I mean, he just continues to do some really special things. You also saw Derrick Henry yesterday, but watching Lamar live, I mean, what stands out? Because I feel like he's going to win his third MVP.
I do too, because he's more accurate than he's ever been. When the Titans upset the Ravens in the playoffs 3 years ago, I think it was, he was about throwing the ball down the middle, but he wasn't good throwing to the boundaries. Now, some of that was because he didn't have good receivers, and now he completes it all over the field. If his rating of 121.6 keeps it up for one more game, he'll be second in NFL history to Aaron Rodgers, who had a 122.5 in 2011. He's already set career highs, 39 touchdown passes. He has, of course, that rating. He has a career high 3,955 yards passing, 67.9%. He's better than he was in either of his MVP years. And he and Henry just make each other better. 145 of Henry's, I think 147 yards were between the tackles. They just annihilated the Texans' defensive line. And it's amazing what a great job they do coaching and what a terrible job the Texans' offensive coaching has been. But I tell you, it's Kansas City, Baltimore, and Buffalo. Those three teams in the AFC, and right now the two that I would pick would be Baltimore at Kansas City in the AFC Championship game, a repeat of what we had last year in Baltimore.
We're talking to the great John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe show. And, John, to kind of piggyback on Chase's question, I was reading somebody that covered the Ravens and said, look, when you watch them on TV, it's something else. When you watch them in the stands, it's something else. But when you watch them face-to-face on the field, it's something else. How impressed were you by seeing Lamar Jackson and just how well that team runs?
Well, I've seen him so much. I saw him twice last year. He's now 5-0 against the Texans. The average scoring margin is 33-8. Wow. That 31-2 score yesterday is only third time in NFL history we've had it. The other two were 1936 and 1965. And so Lamar is better because of Derrick Henry, because they drafted Zay Flowers last year. They've taken pressure off of Mark Andrews. Isaiah Likely gives him a dual threat at tight end. They have so much balance. And their offensive line is so good, so dominant. And they have adjusted Henry inside, Lamar outside. Lamar just makes one great play after another. And he's still able to do it. You know, it's funny. He's only 27 years old.
Ouch.
His first season was when he's 21. We have guys who will be rookies next year who are his age. And that's why Josh Allen's coming off a terrible game, and they almost lost New England. I think they play New England again, maybe the Jets. It's an easy schedule for Buffalo, but Josh Allen's going down. Lamar Jackson's going up. And when you have a great game on national TV late in the year, that helps your resume more than anything.
Well, you talk about the Chiefs, you know, they got the first-round bye, and they're probably not going to play anybody next with it goes on. But, John, just watching that game versus the Steelers yesterday, I mean, they look – we talked earlier, we used the word bland. They're very bland, but you know they're going to win, and they're not doing anything fancy that they haven't done the last 3 or 4 years. It's just very hard to cover that football team.
They went to Pittsburgh. They beat up the Steelers. They did it without their best defensive player, tackle Chris Jones. They did it. They're not a big play offense. In fact, I saw a stat listing teams that have not scored more than 30, and it's three bad teams and the Chiefs. And yet they keep winning. Their defense is so not underrated. Everybody knows their defense is great, but there have been times when the defense has carried them. They're more of a nickel and dime team right now that mixes it up great because of tremendous calls by Andy Reid, and it's funny. They've been criticized for most of the year, and they've lost one game. And two of the last three, they've been blowouts. You know, the Texans lost by one score up there. And that's why a lot of people thought Texans had a chance against the Ravens. I picked the Ravens to win at 33-8 because that's been the average score. And right now, Kansas City, Baltimore, and Buffalo, but Buffalo is not getting any tough tests, and Baltimore is. Pittsburgh's schedule has been unbelievably difficult down the stretch. They've lost three in a row. They're not in the same class with Kansas City, Baltimore, and Buffalo. I can't wait for the playoffs to see what Lamar Jackson continues to do, and Derrick Henry. But what we see Derrick Henry doing is not anything new.
No, that is for sure. We'll have more with John McClain coming up next. It's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. If you're going to play in Texas, you got to have a Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Thursday, continuing our conversation with John McClain. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. So, John, the Titans announced that Mason Rudolph will make his second consecutive start this week. We saw last week, I mean, I think he was okay. The team wasn't very good. They're not a good team. That's just where we are at this point. But what do you think this means moving forward for Will Levis? Could you see him having another home next year, or could he be a part of the competition that the Titans are probably going to have in the offseason?
Boy, that would be something, wouldn't it? They bench him here at the end of the year instead of letting him continue to use it as a learning experience. I think it depends on what they do at quarterback. They're going to, you know, they'd love to be able to draft somebody that they like, that they think could be the franchise quarterback. They may have to sign a veteran. I don't think there's any way Sam Darnold is getting away from Minnesota. They could tag him for a year, see what happens with J.J. McCarthy as the backup, and then the Titans would need to get a bridge quarterback. But we can't count out this draft just because the so-called experts are saying it's not a good quarterback draft. As I've told you guys before, the scouts don't pay much attention to what they do in college. They want to see what they do afterward, at the Senior Bowl practices, at the combine, at the private workouts, at the pro days. And that's when guys can emerge, Anthony Richardson being the perfect example of how a guy can take care of the offseason and then so far not be worth the fourth overall pick. Yeah, but so there's a quarterback that could just put on a show in all those events we're talking about, blow them away, and when they go to lunch and dinner and they fall in love with him. So you can't rule out them drafting a quarterback in the first round. Look where Denver got Bo Nix. Look where Baltimore got Lamar Jackson. So that's got to be their top priority. And you hope they're able to get a guy that they say, this is our guy, we're going to develop him. But, you know, that Brian Callahan's got to be able to get his own guy.
Is there going to be much of a market for Kirk Cousins? Because it feels like that relationship in Atlanta is about to come to an end.
He's got to be gone. It's amazing he can get out of town without getting thrown in jail based on what they've given him he's going to walk away with. He won't have to have a lot of money with his new team next year. He'll get a job. There are always jobs. Daniel Jones will be gone from Minnesota. There'll be a market for him because if you go back and look at some of the games, actually a couple of seasons he had, he was pretty good. But they failed him, but so badly with poor offensive lines. And they just didn't do – letting, like, Saquon Barkley get away. So the Giants did him a disservice. So he'll be another quarterback out there that people will call a bridge quarterback. And there's a lot of teams that still need him. Ideally, if you're New England, you lose out and you end up – Giants take the first quarterback, and then New England is in a position with Drake May to listen to offers. And if you get two or more teams bidding to trade up for your pick, then you got a chance to make a haul.
John, a lot of speculation. Pete Carroll wants to get back in coaching. They've mentioned the Bears and all that. He'll be 72, 73 years old. Any chance the Bears look at him like, yeah, he's our guy, or does Pete, is it over for Pete?
No, I think it's over for Pete. I think it's over for Bill Belichick. And I think the Bears are going to go offense. They'll start with Ben Johnson, the Lions offensive coordinator. You know, it's funny. Would you rather have a guy like Pete Carroll, who's won a national championship in college, won a Super Bowl, should have won two except for a boneheaded offensive play call against the Patriots on the goal line? And Pete is a very young – he's got his hair. He's thin. He has boundless energy. If you watched him walk around all the time, you'd think Pete Carroll was 63 instead of 73. And if he gets an interview, he'll be impressive in interviews, much more impressive than Bill Belichick is. And Pete's not a control freak. When he was there, he had final say for a while. John Schneider, the GM, had final say. I would certainly interview Pete if I needed a head coach. Number one, pick his brain. Get every morsel of information from him that you could use with somebody else. So I hope he gets interviews. I'd love to see him back in the NFL with a third team and or fourth team. I think it would be a fourth team. But I'd be surprised if it happened.
Friend of mine says, ask John if Sean Payton is the coach of the year in the National Football League. I would have laughed at this a couple weeks ago, but he's done a damn good job in Denver, John.
He's done a great job in Denver. I don't think he'll get it. Right now, I think Kevin O'Connell at Minnesota, they were picked last in the division. Now, they've got a tough closing schedule, but he has done a fantastic job at one point. Mike Tomlin, he's lost three in a row. Dan Quinn is starting to get some momentum again because they have bounced back in Washington. But I think he would deserve to be right now number two to me, and Quinn three, and O'Connell number one.
John, your comments on how Sean McVay's done with the Rams, because they've won four straight. They're pretty much out of it. And that's a sneaky good football team.
They're going to win the NFC West, and Matthew Stafford gives them a chance to win almost any game. And the thing is, they've done a really good job of picking the last 2 years. Remember, for years they didn't have high picks. They traded everything. Mm-hmm. And now they've showed they can get them high. They can get them in the middle rounds. They're building a tremendous pass rush. Now, if they're on the road and they're playing outdoors, and people say, well, he played in Detroit all those years. Yeah, Detroit plays indoors. And so he has played outdoors in bad weather because he had to go to Green Bay and he had to go other cities in the east and northeast and play, so it'd be easier for him than a guy who played his whole career inside. But I think they're a dangerous team, and McVay is a great coach capable of winning any game.
True or false, Mike McCarthy is going to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys next year?
I'm going to say true now, because based on what Jerry Jones has said, praising the heck out of him, he doesn't sound like a coach who's going to be gone. And the fact that some players led by Dak Prescott have spoken out for him, I think Jerry likes him. McCarthy's an easy guy to like. And I tell you, boy, their fan base is going to be mad. The media is going to be mad. Everybody is going to be mad if he keeps Mike McCarthy.
Well, I just feel like this is kind of the – he held on to Wade Phillips too long, I think. I think he held on to Jason Garrett too long, and it just seems like this is a pattern for him.
People always act like Jerry's quick on the trigger, and he's exactly the opposite. Even Dave Campo, never should have been a head coach. Ugh. But Jerry is – I remember Wade Phillips is the only coach he's fired during the season. And Wade was fired, and he came back to Houston because his daddy was getting a roast and toast. And I was there. I was one of the guys roasting him. But beforehand, Wade comes in just right before it started, and he's walking down these stairs against the wall, and people start clapping. And then they stand, and they start clapping. And Wade looks behind him to see who's come in. And it's because the Texans had a bad defense. And I told him, you're going to be next defensive coordinator of the Texans. And he was, and he turned around from 30th to number two in the league. They made the playoffs for the first time. And Jerry Jones always regretted firing him during the season. But I think McCarthy's coming back. Now, if they fall on their face in these last two, he's got to go. But if they've got a little momentum with Cooper Rush, Cooper Rush is playing better than Dak Prescott played before he was hurt.
Oh, I agree. And, I mean, they find a way to do it. Cooper Rush is going to be an interesting one to watch, too, because I feel like he's a backup, but you might see a team that looks at him and thinks, oh, he could be a bridge starter.
He has started two times for Dak Prescott when he's been injured lately, and he was 4-1 the first time. I don't know what his record is now, but I do know this. He has played very, very well. if I was a team interested in a quarterback, a bridge quarterback, I'd rather have him than Kirk Cousins for sure.
Yeah, going to be interesting for sure. John, appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you sometime next week.
Guys, thank you very much. Happy New Year and happy holidays.
Yeah, absolutely. John McClain joining us here on the program. We'll react to some of the things he had to say. Plus, we welcome your calls at 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 1025, 106.3 The Game. Hey, tune in to 1025, 106.3 The Game for the Transperfect Music City Bowl on Monday, December 30th. Big Joe and I will have our show, which will be the official pregame show, starting at noon, kickoff set for 1:30, so we'll be on that day. The Music City Bowl is presented by, our coverage is presented by Hi-Fi Buys, so appreciate them for being on board. But yeah, you and I, we had both coaches on, so you'll hear that again if you missed it, with Kirk Ferentz and Eli Drinkwitz as Missouri and Iowa battle. Looking forward to being a part of the pregame and being there at Nissan Stadium on Monday.
That'll be a lot of fun with that. The games, they're fun to go to, man.
They are.
Two teams you never get to see. Back to our question earlier about worst gift you ever gotten for Christmas, but you're like, oh, bless your heart. Dave, my friend, says that his mom gave him, 2 years ago, gave him a GPS to put in the car.
That's not good.
And I said, what did you say back? He's like, oh, thank you. It's just what I wanted. And that's the proper response.
Yep.
For, you know, moms, so, grandparents, the best. Don't know that you got it on your phone.
My mom was listening earlier. She might still be. But she texted and she goes, I'm surprised you didn't say board games. So every year, my mom will give me a board game. And you know how many board games I've played?
Like, yeah, I just, right?
Like, she, but that's her thing.
But
like,
that's
she
okay, always gives,
right. And I just, like, I laugh every, I'm like, oh, there's my game. Like, I kind of
did you get
laugh.
One this year?
I did. It was
Yahtzee?
It was not Yahtzee. It's
Parcheesi?
It's actually wooden. I don't know what it is.
Is it that Mancala game with all the marbles and stuff?
No, I'd have to go look at it again. She said that my friends and I would like playing it, so.
Our Mike Henry says, please read mine. We will read yours, Mike. Good Lord.
Is it something Gators or?
His brother got him Parcheesi back in the day.
Oh, there you go.
All kind of games. I told you, you get Jenga. The way to win Jenga is you sneeze on all the pieces.
That works for me today.
Right?
Doing quite a bit of that.
Halfway through the game, and you'll be fine about that. No, the gifts are great, man. And that's, it's not the, all that to be like, oh, how could you? But like, oh, bless your heart. As we said earlier, my mother bought me Obsession for Women perfume and thought it was cologne. That's like women would be obsessed with that. Spoiler alert, it didn't work. So I'm just telling you, though. But I wore it for like 2 weeks. Look, Mom, I'm still wearing it until I finally chucked it across the neighborhood.
Yeah. 615-737-1025. Eric wants to weigh in on our conversation with John McClain. Eric, what's up?
Guys, I hope you had a great Christmas. I hope you have a happy New Year.
Thank you. You too.
Hey, guys, you were talking about the Cowboys. Of course, I grew up as a huge Cowboys fan. But there was one other Cowboys question you didn't ask him. I was kind of surprised you didn't.
Yeah,
and that's
Chase.
The situation. And that's the situation with Micah Parsons. There's rumors that they may not resign him, that there's talk they may trade him for picks. But here's my issue with the Cowboys. Of course, Jerry being the GM. It's they signed Dak, but they wait till last minute to sign him. They signed CeeDee Lamb, wait till last minute to sign him. A lot of people think they're going to do the same thing, wait till last minute to sign Micah Parsons. When all three of these guys, if they're going to resign him, they could have locked him up early and had more money to match the cap. And it was this big argument why they didn't sign Derrick Henry, because he wanted to play for the Cowboys. He said, well, we don't have enough cap money. I said, listen, you could have found a way to sign it. My point is, and Jerry Jones kind of become like the modern-day Al Davis, where – he just screws up and just messes this team up. And I believe as long as he's the GM, they're never going to win another Super Bowl because I think he needs to turn over the duties to somebody else. He says, well, look, I did a great job of getting all these talents, and they sure have got some great talents. But I just believe as long as he's the GM as well as the owner, they're never going to be the winner that they need to be in, because if it had been another coach or if he let somebody else have control, they probably would have won one of these three seasons, could have won the Super Bowl, at least one more playoff games, but it is what it is, and we'll see what happens. Guys, it's always good to talk to you. Y'all guys take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Eric. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Eric.
I mean, I think they have to. They have to get Micah Parsons re-signed. I mean, that guy is the glue on their defense, and he's a special player. So I feel like they are going to get that done. But it just look, as long as Jerry holds on and won't give up the GM part, and I mean, they're going to continue to be what they are. I mean, if he brings back Mike McCarthy, and then you get a healthy Dak Prescott, you fix the running game because they didn't address that this year. You do all that, then they're probably going to be what they've always been, and that is good enough to get into the playoffs, and then they don't do anything in the playoffs.
Isn't that crazy? They haven't won a Super Bowl in 31 seasons. No, 95, 29 seasons.
Yeah.
That's it. Yep. They haven't sniffed it since then. They haven't been to a championship game. What was the 49ers game with Dak handing the ball to the center, not the ref?
Oh, God. That was terrible. Then, I mean, you had the Romo was holding, even though he was the starter, and flubbed the hold, the hold, you know, for the kick there against Seattle.
Who punched? Was it the Packers that punched him in the face last year in the playoffs? Yeah. Yeah. Went down.
Embarrassed him.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't – I mean, it's just – I don't know. To me, what's more mind-boggling is just – the Cowboys have been competitive, but the Raiders are just awful.
I know.
And they've been the one playoff game since the Super Bowl, if I'm reading. That was Derek Carr. They got beat by the Bengals a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I just – there's just – and look, that's an owner that meddles too.
Yeah.
Another one.
Do you think Pete Carroll is going to get a job?
Yes.
I think he should.
Yep. I think he gets a job. Who would you rather take, Pete Carroll, Brian Callahan?
Well, Pete Carroll.
I'm taking Pete Carroll.
Bring in Pete.
Well, but here's the thing. I think if he comes out and basically he's putting this out there right now that, hey, I want to coach. I'm available. Some jobs that maybe weren't going to open up are going to open up if they feel like they have a legitimate shot to get Pete Carroll.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think his age matters.
No, and look, you look at these great coaches, how they delegate is so important and so vital. Look, I know Andy Reid's got Patrick Mahomes. That almost disqualifies him for anything else because he's that good, but Andy Reid's made him that good. But you go back through history, man. Lombardi had great assistant coaches. You look at Tom Landry. Oh, my – the assistant coaches that were Tom Landry were amazing. Belichick had great assistant coaches with him that they delegated, and he didn't have to do it all. Pete Carroll does not have to call the plays. Pete Carroll does not have to call the defensive plays. Pete Carroll is more of a CEO of anything else on there, whereas these young guys want to call their own plays and all the other things that go along with that. I think Pete Carroll would be a hell of a hire. He'd guys awesome. Love him.
Oh, yeah. I can tell you of all the people that I got to meet because of Floyd – Pete was definitely one of my favorites. Pete and Andy Reid. But Pete sat down at our table and just joked around with Jared and I. And it was just like, wait, this is Pete Carroll? This is the guy that's won a Super Bowl and probably two, should have been two, and national championships. I mean, this is Pete Carroll. Like, this, right. He was just awesome.
Give the tell the Andy Reid story.
Oh, from the combine?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Floyd had, you know, run into Andy and several others. Said, hey, why don't you come on the show? And they're like, sure, we'll come over. So Bill O'Brien, who's still in Houston, walks up to the table, sits down. Andy Reid basically walks up at the same time. And I'm like,
oh, God,
what do I do? You know, and so the PR guy for the Chiefs is like, hey, you know, we may not be able to do it. And Andy looks at him and goes, nah, we'll wait around for Floyd. And they're like, that's fine. He won't, you know, we'll just go when Bill's done. And I was like, Coach, appreciate it. And he goes, yeah, so what do you do? Like, he just sat there and kind of. basically.
102.5, and I'll be the boss one day.
So this was, I don't think they had drafted Mahomes. I think this might have been Mahomes' combine.
The 17 season? 16. Yeah. 17, sorry.
Could have been.
17.
So I think this was, because, I don't know. It was Robinson's first year, I think.
That'd have been 16.
Yeah.
So maybe one of those years.
One of the years. For sure.
Yeah. Well, Titans broke Andy Reid's heart there for a while. I mean, 16, the field goal and suck up that beat him on was that Christmas Day? No, Christmas
no,
Day.
No, it wasn't Christmas Day, but it was like 0 degrees in Kansas City at Arrowhead.
And then 17, the playoffs, and Cyprian knocked out Kelsey. Mm-hmm. I recently watched that play again. I'm surprised Kelsey got up after that.
They don't look. If that doesn't happen, they don't win. The Titans don't win that game
because the Chiefs were shell shocked.
Yeah,
and then in the AFC Championship game, they're up 14-0.
Yep,
we're up in the press box, like, what in the world's going on here? And then They rallied back and won the game.
My favorite part of that game was I'm sitting next to Floyd. J-Rob's right in front of Floyd, like a row down. And I'm like watching them take notes, and it's like I'm watching a mirror. Like they're taking notes the same way. If a bad play happened, you'd hear them both go, "Damn it!" Like just slam the
right,
slam the desk, and then a good play happens. It's just very quiet. Like okay, that's good. And I kind of looked at Floyd, and I go, "Do you realize that you two are the same?" And John turns around and goes, "Where do you think I learned it from?"
you remember us in Miami watching Rand Carthon?
Yeah,
he didn't take any notes that day.
Sure did.
I was like, "Chase, there's Rand Carthon behind you. He's over to his right," and we just kept staring at him.
Yep.
Rand's probably going, "Who are these two just complete losers that are staring at me?" And I was like, "Hey, Rand." He's like, "What's up?" That was it. But yeah, I don't think Rand took notes that day either.
I don't think he should have
because Titans played a hell of a game.
Yeah, no. Look, that was probably the most crazy, like if I had come back and told you this was going to be the outcome, you would have been like, you're what are you on?
Right. I'll never forget how quiet Dolphin the stadium was when the Titans rallied back. It was so, they weren't mad. They were just disappointed. They all just left.
We walked into the press conference and Vrabel just kind of like, when he walked in, you could tell Vrabel just had a, like he was happy obviously, but he was just like, "What the hell just happened?"
Right. And the locker room was so loud, they had to go and say, "Guys, you mind kind of calling it down a little bit?" Because you couldn't hear anything at all.
Oh, yeah. No, it was great. Coming up next, we'll get to What Day Is It? And celebrity birthdays, as we always do. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Hey, tune in to 102.5, 106.3 The Game tomorrow as Vanderbilt football, presented by Prince's Hot Chicken. The Commodores will take on Georgia Tech in the Birmingham Bowl. Pregame 1. Kickoff just after 2:30. Coverage is also available on – actually, it's not, so I won't read that.
Go ahead and read it.
Nope, it's not. Check out Georgia Tech and Vandy tomorrow, the Birmingham Bowl.
What time is that, 2:30?
Yep,
2:30.
That's the kick.
That's the same time you go to the dentist. You know that?
At 2:30?
2:30. Tooth-hurting.
I see what you did there. You just couldn't resist that, could you?
It's the best. Thank you so much. That joke is evergreen. It works anywhere.
That just like that clip of Cliff falling asleep.
It does. It's always good.
That is a good one. Faux show. All right. With that, let's get to – I've missed this the last few days. Let's get to What Day Is It? And celebrity birthdays.
All right, gentlemen. It's a short list today. But first one we have here on the list is the beginning of Hanukkah. So for those that celebrate, congratulations.
It was last night.
Yes.
Yep.
We also have National Candy Cane Day. So I'm pretty sure those are probably half the price at your local department stores. Boxing Day, obviously, is today as well.
Shout out to the Canadians and Boxing Day.
National Thank You Note Day. So.
Always. Thank you notes are it's passes by. Nobody does that anymore.
Mm-hmm. I love handwritten sentiments. I think those are probably the best thing ever. Let's see. National Whiners Day is to wrap it up there. So,
I know some people that do that every day.
Whiners or like wine, like Zinfandel?
No, not like that wine. Type of wine.
Okay.
Have you seen her lately?
I have not. Not since Sinatra's bar that night.
Ah.
That was a good time, wasn't it? You took on the mic and sang Witchcraft? God almighty.
I'm sad I missed that.
Good times. And that guy was like.
I heard David James was there too.
He was in attendance.
And my friend John Winger's like, "Now I know why I've always lost girls to guys like you." He's like, "Lee Harvey, you are a madman." All right, time for celebrity birthdays. Got to get these within two. Our first birthday today is the drummer for Metallica, Lars Ulrich.
Ulrich.
Whatever.
Lars is 63.
67.
61. Isn't his stepdad Ilie Nastasi, the tennis player?
No idea.
No, it's somebody else. It's one of the tennis players that shot a bird to the judge. I'll figure it out.
John McEnroe?
No, somebody else. Actor Jared Leto. What's that band, 10,000 Moons to 30, Mars?
30 Seconds to Mars.
Something like that? Okay.
I'm going to say he's 43.
51.
53.
Oh, wow.
I had no idea he was that old. On down the list here, who's this guy? I don't know who this is, so we'll skip over. Some actress, Beth Bears. You ever heard of her?
Nope.
Nah, we'll skip on that. Kit Harington was in Games of Thrones. One of the characters in Games of Thrones.
34.
47.
38. Never watched that. Don't know who this is either. All right, I'll get some more celebrities. America's Most Wanted host, John Walsh. Better known as Boats.
74.
70.
79. Comedian humorist David Sedaris. No idea.
52.
65.
68. Got it with the default there almost, Dr. Crane. Chris Daughtry of American Idol. Didn't he come to one of our events?
Yeah, I think he did. He's in the band Daughtry. Yeah.
He's a good singer.
48.
44.
45. Dr. Crane's up 2-1. Man, not a lot of people born on December 26. You know that? Did you understand? Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just killing time here.
You know whose birthday would have been yesterday?
Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah.
That's right. It's also Jesus' birthday yesterday.
It is.
And Ricky Henderson.
And Ricky Henderson passed away recently. Yeah. How old did Jesus be? 2025? Right? Something like that. Still alive, though, baby. Still alive. All right, we got four more birthdays here. It's 2-1, Dr. Green. Carlton Fisk with one of the most iconic home runs ever in baseball.
68.
62. 77. This makes me feel old. Chris Chambliss, former Braves and Yankees first baseman.
57.
67.
76.
Oh, wow.
Then the last two. Best shortstop of all time, Ozzie Smith.
62.
64.
69.
Nice.
Last birthday. 2-1. You guys are terrible today. 2-1, Dr. Crane. NBA three-point guy. Now he's on NBA talking basketball. Tim Legler. How old is Tim Legler?
I'm going to say 60.
57.
He is 58. We're tied at two. One more. This is the winner. Keyboard player Bob Carpenter, the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. Evidently lives here in Nashville.
He does. My dad used to hang out with him.
Bob Carpenter. Oh, okay. 2-2. This is good.
That's 75.
78.
78 exactly, Dr. Crane. After Chase McCabe tries to steal your momentum. That's random, though, right?
Yeah.
Your dad would know. Of course your dad knows Nitty Gritty Dirt. Do you know Steve Martin, too?
He met him.
Because the guitar player or whatever, the banjo player for them was Steve Martin's best friend.
Yeah, he met him.
Woo! Sure. All right, good show.
It was a great show. That'll do it for us. DVD coming up next. We'll have bowl games this afternoon. You can go to thegamenashville.com to get the full schedule, all our bowl games presented by Twin Peaks and Parman Tractor and Equipment.
As they should be. All right, guys out there, look, you made it through Christmas. You're doing great. We got 2025 coming up. It's going to be awesome. You are still here for a reason. Know that. Know that we love you. If something goes on, you need to talk to somebody on your cell phone, please dial 988, or you can text 988, or you can reach out to us. We've heard from a lot of you guys. We love you. We love having you here with us every single day. Know that if something happened to you, you'd be tremendously missed. We always want you to know that you're tremendously loved, because we love you, and more importantly, God loves you.
One of our texters says, Beth was the blonde and two broke girls. We were talking about the actress that you didn't know who she was.
Thank you.
So there you go. DVD coming up next. We'll be back at it at 9 o'clock tomorrow. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August is finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.